Today's shir is Masechta Yuma, Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, the second line of Adabarei Rav Yitzchak. In our previous shir, the Gemara had brought a stira in between the Mishnah, the Masechta Tamid, and the Mishnah Masechta Midas, exactly where the Lishkas had Tloyim, the Lishka where they kept the animals which they used for the Kabbanis, was located. The Mishnah Masechta Tamid said that it was in the northwest corner, and the Mishnah Masechta Midas said it was in the southwest corner. And the Gemara in the previous shir said that the answer to this question was that each one of these Mishnayos was represented the opinion of a different Tana. Before we go further in today's shir, it's interesting that I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed quotes that there was a person who was very concerned that he was in danger. He was concerned that there were Nachrim that were looking to hurt him. And he was in constant fear of those individuals. So this person went to ask Rabbi Shulayb Diskin, what should he do? And Rabbi Shulayb Diskin told him that he should learn Masechta Midas. And that's what he did. He began to learn Masechta Midas. And in fact, his problems stopped to exist. The people, nobody understood why Rabbi Shulayb had told him to do this. He once met the Satmar Rebbe, and the Satmar Rebbe says it actually is based on a Gemara Masechta Zvachim, Daf Nun Dalar Mabez. The Pasuk says, V'yivaka Shol lahakos b'chanis b'David, that Shol wanted to attack David, v'huborach, and David escaped, v'yimolet v'yova el Shmuel haramasa. He ran away until he arrived to Shmuel, v'yelech hu v'shmuel v'yeshu b'noyos. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara asks, first it says that he was in Ramos, and then it says that he was in Benoyus. What was he? Was he in Rama or was he in Benoyus? Answers the Gemara that Hayoshvim Berama, they were in the city of Rama for Oiskin Benoyus Shal Oilam. And Rashi explains what was Pshat they were working with Benoyus Shal Oilam. They were learning in Yonei Beis Bechira. So he says, from here we see, said the Satmar Rebbe, that when a person is scared, as David HaMelech was frightened at that time, you learned in Yonei Beis HaMikdash, and that's when he had not, and that's what solved his problem. So similarly, we're learning now on Masechta Midas. We learned in our previous shir the opinion that Rashi told us that actually these sugyas, last blot, today's blot, this part of the blot, aren't really that connected to Masechta Yuma. And we learned that the reason they were brought here is only because we had learned that the Gemara had said on Daf Yud Dalid that all the Mishnayos follow one opinion. And that's why the Gemara wanted to bring another example of this. So but HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that any problems that we have by learning these Gemaras, by learning Masechta Midas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall help us that we should have anything to worry about. So as we mentioned, we have the stira, exactly where the Lishkas Tloyim was. And the Gemara says, the way to understand the Rav Adabarei Rav Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishka, the Lishkas Tloyim, Aktsuya Maktsis, actually was not located in any of the corners of the Beis HaMoiket. Rather, the place where it was on the west side, between the north and the south, and did not reach either corner of that side. And therefore, the Asim Tzofen, if somebody is coming from the Tzofen side, Mischazilei Bedarim, it looks to him as if it's completely on the south side. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is if I'm approaching from the north side, I see that it didn't reach all the way to the corner of the north side, as we just explained. So therefore, I think it might be reaching all the way to the south corner. and the simile, Dasa Medaram, if somebody's coming from the south side, so somebody's coming from the south side, it's obvious to him that it's not touching the south corner, as we just explained, that it didn't. But in Maschazile, it looks to him as if it's touching the north side. So in actuality, it didn't touch either corner. But because, depending from which direction you arrived, there's an optical illusion that it may be touching that side. That's why the Mishnayos say that it's considered as like it's touching both sides. But actually, it wasn't really touching either corner. And now both Mishnayos can be reconciled. They both agree exactly where the Lishkas HaTorayim was. It was on the south side, not touching either corner. And I saw, why was this Lishka different than all the other Lishkas? All the other Lishkas, we said, were in the corners. Why was this Lishka not in a corner? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained, because this Lishka, as we said, is where the animals were. And because this Lishka is where the animals were, it needed more room than the other Lishkas. And because it needed more room than the other Lishkas, they couldn't just put it into a corner. They needed to take up most of the side, but it didn't take up the entire side. Daruch has a different approach to this Gemara altogether. His approach was that everybody coming from whichever direction didn't thought that it was moving in that direction, not that he necessarily thought that it reached the corner. Umistabra, says the Gemara, it makes more sense, that says the Gemara, to say that it was closer to the south side than it was to the north side. Umistabra, the Memoravistar Umisavoy, it makes more sense to say that it was closer to the south side. Why? And even though the Tana, Masechtam Tamid, said that it was on the north, it was on the northwest side, because he was just speaking, if a person comes from the south side, it looks like it's on the north side. But in actuality, it was closer to the south side. Mimai, ask the Gemara, why are we saying that? Says the Gemara, Midr Amin and Lechem upon him, Lechem upon him. Because there was another question that we asked between the Mishnah Masechta Tamid and the Mishnah Masechta Midos regarding the Lishkas Lechem upon him. The Mishnah Masechta Tamid says that, discusses the Lishkas, as we said, that were in the Beis HaMaiket, and it started with the Lishkas HaTloyim, which was in the northwest side, and it continued mentioning all of the Lishkas, and it ended with the Lishkas Lechem upon him. It ended off with the Lishkas Lechem upon him. So the Gemara is assuming that the Mishnah over there is speaking about a person who's always walking towards his right. So if somebody comes to the north and then makes a right turn, he goes to the west. And then from the west, he goes to the south. And from the south, he turns to the east. So according to this understanding, he would reach the Lishkas HaTloyim would be in the northwest. The Lishkas HaChsomis would be in the southwest, if he's following this direction. The Lishkas Beis HaMoikid would be in the southeast. And the Lishkas Lechem Aponim would be in the northeast. Whereas the Mishnah Masechta Midos says that the Lishkas Lechem Aponim was in the southeast. So the Gemara is saying, assuming, as we've been learning, and we'll, Mitzvah Hashem, learn more now, that you always turn to the right. So if we're going to learn that the Mishnayos are following that direction, so then the Lishkas Lechem Aponim is not where we would expect that the two Mishnayos aren't consistent where the Lishkas Aponim was. Was it in the southeast, or was it in the northeast? Umashaninen. And the way to answer this question, Omer Rav Huna Bereid of Yeshua, Marka Choshev, the Tanim Sechta Midas, it mentions Derech Yemin, as somebody who enters the room and he moves to the right and then goes around and around, as expressed in the Mishnah. That's why he goes from Dorim to Mizrach, Mizrach to Tzofen, Tzofen to Ma'ariv, Ma'ariv to Darim. And that's why, after mentioning the Lishkas Atoyim, which was in the southwest, as we said, he goes to the north. He mentions the Lechem Aponim, which was in the southeast. Amar, the Mishnah Masechta Tamid, doesn't explain where the Lishka was, is not necessarily referring to a situation where a person is making right turns, Choshev Derech Smol. It's talking about somebody who's going to his left. And therefore, if you're going to your left, you'll have the Lishka Satloim in the exact same place, but it won't be, you won't get to it at the same time. Says the Gemara, I Amrit B'Shlomo, if we're going to say that the Tanim Sechta Tomid holds B'Marovas Deroimus Havoi, that the Lishka Satloim was in the southwest corner, that means it was more, as we started this piece of Gemara. Even though it was, as we started the Shia today and said that the Lishka Satloim was completely on the west side, it wasn't in a corner, it was on the west side, but it was more towards the south than to the north. And the reason we said it was in the northwest corner, because it's talking about somebody who enters the Beis HaMikdash from the south side, it looks to him like it's to the north side, as we explained at the beginning of the Shir. Haina the Mataritz, that's how we can answer the stira on the Lechem Aponim, Lechem Aponim, where the Lechem Aponim was located. Because we'll explain that the Mishnah in Masechta Tamid is discussing somebody who's going to his left, because the reason we're saying that is because we're mentioning the Tana over there mentions the Lishkas Atloim, and then the Lishkas Chaisamis, then the Lishkas Beis HaMoiked, and then the Lechem Aponim. And since the Lishkas Atloim was on the southwest side, that's why somebody who's going to his, in that direction, when they're going to the left, he'll find that on the southwest side, and then he's going to go continue in that direction, and that's why he'll find the Lishkas Chesamis in the northwest corner, and then he'll find the Lishkas Beis HaMikdash in this northeast corner, and then he'll find the Lishkas Lechem Aponim in the southeast corner. And therefore, the way we're learning, everybody will agree that the Lishkas Lechem Aponim was in the southeast corner, and by saying it was in the southeast corner, we're able to have the two Mishnayis not have a question. They're both agreeing that the Lishkas Lechem Aponim was in the southeast corner, because again, if he's going to his left, he starts with the Tloyim to Chesamis to Lechem Aponim. However, if Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that the Lishkas Atloyim was more towards the north, but Tzfoinis Marovet Tzavoi, it was more towards the north, as the Mishnah Masechta Tamid seems to say, so then, Saif, ask the Gemara, Eli Amrit, but Tzfoinis Marovet Tzavoi, if we want to say that the Lishkas Atloyim was more towards the north, ask the Gemara, Saif, my Terutza, the Lechem Aponim, how will we reconcile the question we have about the location of the Lishkas Lechem Aponim? Because if that's going to be the case, we're going to have the Lishkas Atloyim in the northwest corner, and after we'll have the Lishkas Atloyim in the northwest corner, then we'll have the Lishkas Chesamis in the northeast corner, then the Beis HaMikdash in the southeast corner, and the Lishkas Lechem Aponim would be in the southwest corner. And of course, as we've been saying, in Masechta Midas it says the Lishkas Lechem Aponim was in the southeast corner, and we would have a stira. Is it in the southeast corner, in the southwest corner? Elashab Shmamina. The way to reconcile the Mishnayis is by saying that the Mishnah there is going to somebody going to the left, and by saying, but my Ravas the Ramis Havoi, it was in the that the Lishkas HaTloim was more towards the south, and because it was more towards the south, the two Mishnayos could be reconciled. Shema Mina. So even though we began the shir by saying it was along the Lishkas HaTloim was along the west side, it was more towards the south than it was to the north. Ask the Gemara, but why are we explaining that the Mishnah in Masechta Midas is the Mishnah Masechta Tamid is to be explained that it's talking about an individual who's turning to the left? Vamamar, didn't we learn, and we have this rule, that kol pinush at the poina loyei el derech yamin, that a person should always turn to the right. So how do we have a Mishnah that needs to be explained that the person is constantly going to his left? Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili, when is there a locha that you have to go to the right? Ba'avoida. When you're going to do the avoida, so then the halacha is, you're always supposed to turn to the right. Have a halacha. Here, when we're just mentioning the location of the lishkas, chushbun of almahu, the mtana is not speaking about somebody who's going to do the avoida. It's just telling us location. And when the tana here is coming to teach us the location, then there's no need to specifically go to the right. As we mentioned in a previous year, this question, do you go to the right or do you go to the left, is interesting regarding where do you begin lighting the candles on Hanukkah after the first candle. The Shulchan Aruch says that after the first night of Hanukkah, when somebody lights two or more candles, he should first light the candle that's most to the left, most to his left, and then continue lighting towards the right. The Levush and the Taz have a different approach. They say that the candle on the far right should be lit first. The Taz explains is that our Gemara is teaching us that when you come to do an avodah, and he's saying doing a mitzvah is in the same category, you should always start on the right. And he explains, kol pinush at the point of derech yamin means to start on the right. It doesn't mean to move towards the right. And therefore, the proper place, he says, to start lighting the menorah when you have more than one candle to light is on the far right, and then continue moving. The Levush says that what's the raya that the Taz is correct? Because if we look at the Hebrew, the way Lashon Kodesh is written, it always goes from the right to the left. When we look at a line of printed Lashon Kodesh, a printed Hebrew, it always starts from the right to the left. The Eliyahu Rabba, so isn't that a proof? Why is Hebrew written right to the left? Because we always begin to the most right. The Eliyahu Rabba says that the Levush's Raya is not a good Raya. Because although, of course, when a line of Hebrew is written and read, we always read from the right to the left, but when the cipher forms the Hebrew letters, he goes from left to right. And therefore, the way Hebrew is written is not a compelling raya. Because when we speak about writing Lashon Kodesh, it really explains the Eliyahu Rabba has in it both elements. On one hand, it's read from right to left. On the other hand, it's written left to right. And therefore, Lashon Kodesh cannot be a raya in either direction. We learned in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph that the Kohen Gadol makriv chelek b'roish v'noteh chelek b'roish. When it comes to bringing kabbonis, he has the first rights, and so too when it comes to getting a share of the kabbonis, he gets the first right. So the Brice elaborates on that din. Tana b'ne kaitz makriv chelek b'roish. What does it mean that Kohen Gadol gets first rights to be makriv a carbon? I'm a oil zu ani makriv. If there was a carbon to be brought, he goes first. Makriv zu ani makriv, or there's a carbon mincha to be brought, he goes right. And as the Meiri explains, as we've said many times, the decision who should do which avodah in the Beis HaMikdash was determined through a geirel. The Kohen Gadol did not at all participate in that geirel. He could come and say, I want to do this avoida, and he had the right to do it. Furthermore, I saw the Rishonim explain that not only did he have a right to say, I want to do this avoida, and of course, as soon as he said it, he was appointed to do it. More than that, if he said, I only want to do part of an avoida, again, it's within his right to make such a declaration, and it would be followed. Ketzad, noitzel chelik b'roish. What does it mean, continues the Braisa, when we said that the Kohen Gadol noitzel chelik b'roish? I'm a chatas on the oichel. If the Kohen Gadol said, I want to eat from this carbon chatas, Oshem zayin oichel, I want to eat from this carbon Oshem, he has a right to take that portion, even though he wasn't involved in any way in bringing that carbon. The noitel kalim shtei chalas. We know that in Shavuos there was shtei chalas brought, and the Kohen Gadol is allowed to take one of the two chalas for himself. Moreover, the Chofetz Chaim, the Sefer Kutei Halacha, says not only does the Kohen Gadol have a right to choose that he can eat from any carbon that he so desires, he could take that portion and give it to any other Kohen to eat. However, the Chofetz Chaim wants to suggest in the Lakutei Halachas that that is only in a situation where when he originally took it, he took it on the intention that he'll eat it himself. And then after he took it with that intention, he decided that he doesn't need this. So the halach is he could give it to another Kohen. But to take it deliberately away from one Kohen, and not that he wants it, but to give it to another Kohen, that says the Chofetz Chaim, he may not do. Another point that the Braisa wants to say, that this is only regarding Kabbonis. Regarding Kabbonis, as we're learning, we're going to continue learning, that's where our Mishnah and Gemara teach us that the Kohen Gadol has special rights. But when it comes to Trumas and Maisris, there this rule doesn't apply. And the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel gives a beautiful explanation why is there a difference. He says, by Kotche Migdosh, the Kahanim, Mishuchen Gevoy Kazachu. What they're getting is not really from the owner of this Truma Meiser, the owner of the carbon. It's really coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu said that the Kohen Gadol gets first right, and the owner of the carbon has no right to go against that rule. However, when we speak about Trumas and Meiseris, it comes not directly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It comes from the owners of those of that produce that takes off the Trumas and Meiseris and then gives it to the Kohen. There the Torah says that it belongs to the Kohen. There the Torah says the owner has the right to determine who should get it and which Kohen should get it, and there's no special privileges given to the Kohen Gadol. We also know that every Shabbos that they would switch the lechem upon him. They would bring 12 new chalas, put it on the shulchan, which is made out of two rows, six on each row, and the old challah, which was there from the previous Shabbos, was distributed amongst the Kohanim. We'll speak in Mitzvah Shem, which Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol could take, how many of those challahs could the Kohen Gadol receive? Says the Gemara, Arba Chamish Mimas Lachem upon him. He could get four or five of those challahs. Rabbi Omer La'olam Chamish. He doesn't get five. The first Tana holds sometimes four and sometimes five, and we'll see soon why. And Rebbe says he always gets five. Shnemar v'hoysel Aaron lubonov. Mechsel Aaron, half of the chalas were given to Aaron, or mechsel lubonov, and half to the other kohanim. Now, two of the chalas, as we'll see soon, are not part of the amount that were distributed, so we're left with 10. So according to Rebbe, he gets half of that 10, and that's why he always gets 5. According to the Rabbanon, according to the Tanakhama, it seems that the opinion is that he gets a little less than half, and that's why he doesn't get 5. But ask the Gemara, Hagu Fakasha. Now the Gemara begins to analyze this halacha. Amrit, Noitel Chalachs M'shtei Chalos. And Shavuos, as we said, the two chalos brought, the Kohen Gadol could get up to half, which means he could get one of them. Mani, whose opinion is this following? Rebbe he. Domer, as we just explained, the Rebbe holds Pal Geshokel. He gets half. So half of two is one. And that's why the Kohen Gadol could get one of the two chalas. But ask the Gemara, Eima Mitziyosa. Let's continue learning the Braisa. That he gets Arba Chamish Masa Lechem upon him. That he only gets four or five of the Lechem upon him. Asan the Rabbanon. That represents the opinion of the Rabbanon. Dami Lo Shakal Palga. That he doesn't get a full half. But Eima Seifa, and then the Seifa learned, Rebbe Oymel Oylem Chamish, that he always gets five of the Lechem upon him, because he gets half. So ask the Gemara, how we have here a situation that the ratio, the first halacha that we just learned, the Sefer, and the last halacha that we just learned, that the Kohen Gadol gets half, is representing the opinion of Rebbe. Umtsiyasa, in the middle halacha, that he doesn't get quite half, is the Rabbanan. Amar Abaya, says the Gemara, ratio umtsiyasa Rabbanan. There, we could actually suggest that even the ratio and the first halacha and the second halacha do follow the opinion of Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, we don't give him half. So why, by the Shtei Alechem, on Shavuos, do we give him a whole challah? Says the Gemara, Maida Rabbanan, the Rabbanan and Maida, that even though we don't want to give the Kohen Gadol a full half, but in a situation, Boifim Prusa, if we're going to want to not give him a whole half, we're not going to give him a whole challah, because if we're going to want to give him less than half, but a Shtei Alechem, that means we're going to have to break one of the challahs. The lav oirich ara lemeisur l'kayin gadol. It isn't appropriate to give a kayin gadol. It isn't appropriate to give a kayin gadol a not whole piece, and therefore we don't give him. Therefore, the rabbanon will agree that in such a situation we have to give him a whole challah. Of course, Rashi points out, what the Gemara means to say is to go deliberately, and the way to give the Kohen Gadol his share is by breaking a piece of the challah is wrong. Of course, if it's already broken, then the halacha is that we could give it to the Kohen Gadol that way. Taisa disagrees, and Taisa says that even if it's already broken, it's still not right to give a Kohen Gadol a broken piece. So, therefore, the first din that we learned that the B'shtei Alechem, we give the Kohen Gadol a whole challah, can even follow the opinion of the Rabbanan. So Abaye said that when the Braisa said that we give the Kohen Gadol four or five challahs, it's the opinion of the Rabbanan. So we need to understand, when does he get four and when does he get five? Ask the Gemara, my Arba Chamesh, what does it mean four or five? Says the Gemara, it really depends, as the Gemara Masechta the Sukkah, Daf Nun Vav Amar Aleph, explains how they divided the 12 challahs on the Lechem upon him every Shabbos. Because every Shabbos, we know, the two Mishmairis would switch. And the Rabbanan hold, the Rabbanan the Amri, Nichnas Noit L'Sheish, that the new Mishmar got six of those challahs, Yoitzei, the old Mishmar, Noit L'Sheish, V'schar HaGofel, HaGofel Sa Delosis, the Mishmar that came in was also the one that was going to close the doors of the Beis HaMikdash on Motzei Shabbos, even though they weren't the ones that opened it. That doesn't give them a right to get any more chalas. Loi doesn't give them a right to get any more chalas. So it turns out that how many chalas are divided between the two Mishmaris? 12 chalas. And the 12 chalas, Mishnei Masri Boi Miflag, they have to divide the Kohen Gadol, we have to divide the chalas into two, six and six, botza chadim and palga. But as we've learned, the rabbanan say the Kohen Gadol should not get a full half, and that's why chamei shakel. The reason why he doesn't deserve a full half, it doesn't, says Taisus, this was a Taisus on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the very maskul moida, that it's not respectful that this one Kohen Gadol should get as much as all the other Kohanim. So the way we even it out is by giving him a less. Each group was supposed to get six, he'll only get five. And that's why, but we divided by 12, but we take one off from the 12, from the six, that it shouldn't be an exact half, and that's why Chamesh Shakel, he'll take five. However, Rabbi Huda Amar, according to Yehuda in Masechta Sukkah, that says the way the Lechem Apanim was divided was Nichnas Noitel Sheva. The new Mishmer gets 7 of the Chalas. Why? 5 they get because we're dividing 10 by 2. And Shtayim and 2 of the Chalas are not divided. They're given to the new Mishmer B'schar HaGofes Talsus as payment for them closing the doors, even though they weren't the ones that opened the doors. So therefore, that new Mishmer gets 7 chals. The Yoitza gets the remaining, Noitel Chamish. So therefore each group, that group gets 5. The Kohen is supposed to, because we're only dividing 10 of the chals, 2 of the chals we're leaving to the side. And as we just explained, the Kohen Gadol doesn't quite get a full half, and that's why Shokel Arba. We also learned in the Gemara on Daf Tezayin Amud Beis that the Gemara asked the question that it seemed that the ratio of the Braisa and the Sefer of the Braisa followed the opinion of Rebbe that the Kohen gets half, and the middle halacha where it says that we give him he gets less than half was the opinion of the Rabbanan, and the Gemara found it difficult to have a ratio Rebbe, Sefer Rebbe, and the middle Rabbanan. Rav Amar, and we gave an answer to that question, that the Reisha and the Metziosa, the first din and the second din, followed the opinion of the Rabbanan. Rav Amar, Kula Rebbe Hi. It says, we could explain that entire Braisa follows the opinion of Rebbe. And this is the Braisa. The first halacha, that he takes one of the two chalas, is very understandable. He gets half, so out of two, he gets one. When the Braisa said 4 or 5, of the lechem upon him, Savla Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda holds, that we just learned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that when we divide the lechem upon him, only 10 of the lechem upon him were in that division. 2 were separated out for the new Mishmer, Alamai Arba. But if Rabbi's opinion, asked the Gemara, is that he should get half, he should get 5. Why is he getting only 4? Hachamish Boyle Mishkel. Answers the Gemara, Loikasha, Dika Mishmer HaMasakiv. The Gemara over there in Masechta Sukkah also goes into discussing different situations about Kohanim that find themselves in the Beis HaMikdash. Because we know, as we said, the Lechem HaPanim was divided on Shabbos, and on a normal Shabbos, we have 2 Mishmeres. We have the old Mishmer and the new Mishmer. Sometimes you have all of the Mishmeres in the Beis HaMikdash, in a situation where it's Yontif. And when it's Yontif, then all the Mishmeres are included in the vision. Similarly, when Yontif is on Friday, or Yontif is on Sunday, that the Kohanim have to already be at the Beis HaMikdash from Friday to be there on Friday or on Sunday. So then the halacha is, it's the same as Shabbos in the middle of a Yontif, and all the Mishmeres divide the Lechem upon him. But then the Gemara over there discusses another situation, and that is Mishmer HaMas'akif. If Yontif comes out on Thursday, or Yontif comes out on Monday, so then they're not obligated to be there already, because they could come on Friday. The Mishmer that was there on Thursday could go home on Friday. Or if Yontif is on Monday, they could arrive only on Sunday. So the Mishnah over there says that in the case where there is a Mishmer HaMas'akev, the Mishmer HaMas'akev gets 2 of the Chalas. So therefore, if the Mishmer HaMas'akev is going to get 2 of the Chalas, so let's do the calculation. We start with 12 Chalas. 2 were taken away, as we said before, that because we give that to the new Mishmer, Schar HaGofes Talsus, payment for closing the door. Then now another 2 were taken away to give it to the Mishmer HaMasakiv. It were taking away 2 to give to the Mishmer HaMasakiv. We're left with 8. And we're left with 8. And Rebbe says we divide it equally, 4 of 4. So 4 will be given to the Kohen Gadol. In a situation, however, where there is no Mishmer HaMas'akif, in a normal week, Shabbos, where there is no Mishmer HaMas'akif, So as we said, we're dividing 10 chalas. According to Rebbe, the Kohen Gadol gets 5 of them, and that's why that's the case when he'll get 5. Ha the leka mishmem, ha the ikka mishmem masakiv, he the leka mishmem masakiv. Ask the Gemara, ikka mishmem masakiv, shmoina baila mikiv, v'shar arba. Says the Gemara, if there's a mishmem masakiv, as we just explained, we're only dividing 8, and therefore he gets 4. V'leka mishmem masakiv, Esa by Miflug, we're dividing 10, and that's why he gets 5. And so what Rav has accomplished is that he was able to explain that all three halachas that we learned all could follow the opinion of Rebbe, because explains the Tosfos HaRosh, because in this machlokes the halacha is like Rebbe, and that's why Rav was going out of the way to try to explain that this entire brisa, all of the halachas cited in this brisa, will follow the opinion of Rebbe. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the way to understand, then there's one word in the brisa which is difficult to understand. Yehachi mai Rebbe oimel oilam chamish. The brisa says, the Rebbe says, the Kohen Gadol always gets 5 of the lechem upon him. The way we just explained, he doesn't always get 5. Sometimes he gets 4. So why would the brisa say la'olam? Says the Gemara, kasha. But we have a rule that whenever the Gemara has a question, there are two different words that the Gemara uses when it has a question. Sometimes it uses the word and doesn't mention an answer to the question. Sometimes the Gemara says kasha, and sometimes the Gemara says tiyufta. And the Rishonim teach us that there's a very big nafkamina, that when the Gemara uses the word tiyufta, it means that there is no answer to this question. Whereas when the Gemara uses the wording of kasha, the Gemara didn't give an answer, but there is an answer. So what is the answer here? So the Rishonim explain that the reason Rebbe says la'olam, even though it isn't really always that case that he gets 5, it's only under certain circumstances. But since the situation of a mishmer mis'akiv is very rare, because it's only when Yontif comes out on Thursday or Monday, that's why the Braisa was comfortable in using the word la'olam always, even though it isn't actually always, it's only usually that way.